The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You rebel scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now, your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
You betcha. And armed with a 2 gigabyte memory card this week. Not going to have any of those pesky problems again, let me tell you.
Never say never, my friend. We'll find a creative way to have problems again.
Until Celebration 5, when we have to do another, you know, four-hour extravaganza. But otherwise, we should be all right. Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. An honor to be so. I am Jason, and with me always, my best buddy, Pete.
And I have to apologize up front that I sound a little nasally. I am fighting off a cold and losing tremendously at this point.
I think you sound great.
Well, it's...
I think it's a good radio
voice. I've got a nice bass to my voice now.
Yeah, you have some timber. Anyway, well, no, it's. I'm glad that you're suffering through it, despite not feeling very well.
Oh well, in a week when I am suffering with a cold, the only thing I look forward to is the Forcecast.
Mm. I had one of these really bad experiences where I was kind of living what I thought was going to be one of those commercials. You know, when you're in a situation that feels like I've seen a commercial where this happens and it doesn't end well. I was giving a presentation at work, and I thought I was right in the middle of one of those Pepto Bismol commercials. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it luckily passed. I got about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Everything started to the cold sweat stopped, you know, and everything started getting back to normal, as normal as it gets for me.
Yeah, that's right. But normal anyway, being relative, as usual.
I want to thank our sponsors, Official Picks. They are the ones that make this all happen. And as a special thank you to all the great customers who have made this summer so successful, Official Picks is happy to offer $10 off any 16x20. Regular photo enlargement from the store. These supersized 16x20-inch photos are perfect for collectors, children's rooms, and holiday gifts. Hurry up. Sale ends September 30th, so you'd only have a few more days of that. So it's kind of the back-to-school sale.
Yeah. You never even finished Jedi school.
And I don't remember that one. Do you remember that? Quick! Trivia. Episode?
It's frightening. I don't. When I read the clip, I was like, Jedi school, what's that all about? And then I heard the clip and I thought, I don't even remember it.
Yeah. Well, it's the back to school sale, and you can check that out at officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X, PIX.com. So thank them for everything they do for us. Some interesting things here. We've got a lot of birthdays.
A lot of birthdays.
And the birthdays are kind of extremes, like significant character and less significant characters.
And you are eventually going to get cut.
So we're right. So we're going to kind of, I think we should probably do these in order of importance.
Okay.
Not necessarily in order of birthday. Although, who would have known that these two actors would share a birthday?
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of time on screen.
Phantom time. But before we get to that, we were talking last week a little bit about the Family Guy Blue Harvest special, and I know you're really looking forward to that.
I can't wait. I will not move. You know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about how, you know, in the TiVo age, we can see everything because it's being TiVo'd and we don't have to actually be on the couch. I will not move from my couch.
At least you want to be there as soon as
it
happens.
At least a half an hour before it starts, I won't move. It's almost like a movie theater experience for me. It's a combination of two of my favorite things. How can I miss it?
Well, there's a trailer that's available, and we do have some clips from that. So here they are, the Family Guy Blue Harvest special. And if you don't know the significance of Blue Harvest, well, we have some younger fans. Blue Harvest was the code name for Return of the Jedi when they were trying to keep the filming of Return of the Jedi under wraps.
A secret.
It was a secret. So for those of you that live in the prequel era, That's what they had to do once upon a time. That was before.
That was even before the internet.
Right. And before tubes.
Yes.
Here it is, Family Guy, Blue Harvest.
Aren't you a little fat to be a stormtrooper?
I'm Luke Skywalker. Me and Han Solo and Obi-Wan are here to rescue you.
Wait, Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah. Suddenly I'm not so fat, huh?
We've got a couple more. Here's another one.
Hold your fire. There's no life forms aboard.
Hold your fire? What are we, paying by the laser now?
You don't do the budget, Terry. I do.
There's all nothing right, funnier than just making that an everyday scenario. Like,
and the fact that the guy's name is Terry,
Terry
is great.
Right.
That's just perfect. All right, here we go.
Come on, into the garbage chute.
She's right. Come on, Chewbacca.
What are you kidding? It's probably full of disease. I'm not jumping in there.
Not even if I throw this pig's ear?
Oh, come on. That's not fair.
You don't get it.
it's going to be great. I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. So that's this weekend, this Sunday, as the show goes live. Might as well say hello to those of you that are joining us live on TalkShoe.com. We do record the show live before a remote studio audience. Every week, Wednesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and they do join us on TalkShoe. That's TalkShoe.com. If you're on TalkShoe, or if you're within the sound of our voices and you would like to be a part of the show, give us a call at 724-444-7444. You don't need to be a TalkShoe member to call. You just need to know the TalkCast ID, which is 46670. Again, that's 46670. Give us a call on any LAN or cell phone or VoIP. Just about any way.
Yeah.
Skype. I mean, give us a call. 724-444-7444. Moving along about the birthdays. We were talking about, we're going to go kind of in order of importance. And I'm sure we'll get emails.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know that anybody can necessarily disagree with this. But there's probably some. So happy birthday, first of all, to Garrick Hagen, otherwise known as Biggs Darklighter.
I'm not going to wait around for the Empire to draft me into service. The rebellion is spreading, and I want to be on the side I believe in.
Also known as who? Sorry, that's not very nice.
Well, his birthday is tomorrow as the show is recorded. September 27th. I don't think we have an age. Age unavailable.
Mm. He's the ageless one.
Yeah, he's like Barry Manilow. You never know how old the guy is. He won't admit it. Anyway, happy birthday to Biggs. Also celebrating a birthday the same day. Can you believe it? Dennis Lawson, Wedge Antilles.
The size of that thing.
I'm not going to go there.
That's one of those sound clips that we get and we go, I wonder if that was the one he should have picked.
Yeah.
Jimmy's like, I'm going to give him this one. Just see what happens. Well, I'm not going there.
Yes.
Not going there, Mac.
Yeah, we're not going in for those shenanigans.
No. So happy birthday to Dennis Lawson, Wedge Antilles. Dennis will be 60 years old. I don't know if he has kinder things to say about Star Wars than his nephew Ewan. We've got a follow-up to our Ewan McGregor story later on here. And finally, last but not least, celebrating a birthday on the 25th. Excuse me. You know, I'm all mixed up. Today's the 21st, right? Or I mean, as the show goes live, it'll be the 21st.
Right.
These birthdays aren't till next week.
I suppose I should have caught you on that.
You probably should have. What is Jimmy doing? He's sending us these birthdays
for.
All right, so we're a week early. So if you want to get that card in the mail.
That's right. You still have time.
You have time. If you want to get a card out to Garrick Hagen or Dennis Lawson. Also celebrating a birthday early next week, 56 years young, the one, the only.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Mark Hamill. Luke Skywalker. The Joker. Amadeus. Who else?
And the list goes on and on.
Yeah. What was he in The Guys and Dolls on The Simpsons?
Nathan Detroit. He was electric. as Nathan right. Detroit. You know, we give him a lot of a hard time on here, but it's only because we have so much respect and so much adoration for him that we just...
oh my gosh, my boyhood idol.
Yeah, that you know, we just have such high standards for what we expect him to be that, you know, sometimes it's just, we just take out our angst that he isn't still Luke Skywalker these so many years later.
Right. That's right.
So
how dare he move on?
Happy birthday, Mark, and all the best to you. And that's right. How dare you?
We're still doing this show. But yeah, happy birthday to Mark. 56 years old. And I never get tired of hearing you say this.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
It's real drama there, my friend. That's real acting chops.
You can feel it.
Well, Pete, week three.
Week three.
Of the ForceCast Fantasy Football League.
In the books.
What do we got going on? What was the action from this past week?
Well, in the game of the week, and I have to say that after the first week where I talked trash and my team absolutely did not live up to any of the expectations, although we did eke out a win, this week, after all of the trash talking, my team came up huge and had a great performance and eked out a victory over a 1 point victory over Mike Barrick, who the previous week had beaten McChelly by 1 point, so it was turnabout as fair play, but we both had obnoxious scores like 130 something, and it was all because the Browns had an awesome day, which was completely unexpected and shouldn't have ever happened. Shame on you, Cincinnati Bengals. But anyway,
well, the Bengals they had a high score too.
Yeah, well, but they shouldn't have given up that to the Browns. I mean,
so this really screwed up like fantasy football right. across the nation.
It turned everything on its ear.
I love it.
So, but we've got a couple of teams that are off to great starts. The Shenanigans are holding steady at 2-0. Princess Nisa's team, otherwise owned by Mrs. Schwa, is off to a great 2-0 start and actually by far has outscored everybody so far. And again, yes, she does know about football,
okay,
and it's showing
right.
through.
Yep.
And then the NES Tecmo Super Bowlers, owned by Darth Fagan, are off to a 2-0 start. But it's still early on. Everybody can still get back into the game. And that's the nice thing about fantasy football is it can all turn on a dime if there just happens to be one ridiculous performance by Derek Anderson. But coming up this week, there are several good matchups, but the matchup of the week, the Bespin Kings, owned by Steve, against the aforementioned Tecmo Super Bowlers, and right now it's Super Bowlers -5 taking on. And interesting note that according to McChelly's rundown of this coming week's action, the game will be aired on ESPN 8, The Ocho, and will feature a celebrity coin flip by Billy Dee Williams.
Oh, well.
So, and actually, Billy Dee will be at a couple of different places for, excuse me, there it is, the coin flip. So fantasy football rolls on. Again, eventually we will have a champion and they will get an awesome trophy. I don't know what it's going to be. It'll be awesome if it's me.
So hey, you guys have to come up with something.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. The very first inaugural.
And it's got to be a traveling trophy.
Force cast, yeah, you know, trophy that
especially if it's
around.
A piece of junk, because then you know, by the time it circulates a couple of seasons.
I'm cleaning out my house as I prepare to move, and there are several of those that could qualify. Someone may get my 10th grade band trophy as the official trophy for fantasy football. So,
all right.
Thanks again to everybody for playing. It's been great. And again, if you do want some very entertaining, very funny reading, head on over to the forums and check out Mick Jelly's rundown for each week. I gave him a little hard time this week, as I said. He said, "I hope it's good," and I said, "Well, I think it will be." But you've set the bar pretty high, and today's was awesome. It was very funny, had me laughing. So definitely head over there and check that out, because he puts a lot of time into it, and it's really worth it.
Those are our forums over at rebelscum.com. You can find those. We're still listed under miscellaneous.
Well, we are somewhat miscellaneous.
Well, that's
to be
true,
honest.
Especially this week's show. We're miscellaneous, and you can find us there right under WUR. Right?
Yes. We're.
Where is Cantina?
We're.
You can find the Force Cast. So. And that's cool. I mean, there's always something going on. I mean, the Jawas are always putting up new videos. The Fantasy Football, you got the trivia. Although, I think the trivia is kind of isn't quite as happening because of the fantasy football, right?
Well, and I think it's just kind of back to school time, and everybody kind of gets a little bit busy, but I'm sure it'll pick up again at some point.
Right.
And there's only so many trivia questions.
Well, you mentioned Billy D. He's doing the coin toss, which is amazing to me because I heard that he's a janitor at a hospital these days.
He's a man of many talents.
Yes, he is. And we've got, of course, this week's Billy D clip of the week from the General Hospital spinoff, Night Shift. Here he is as Toussaint. Oh, what could it be? Who knows?
I don't mean to pry, but I always loved hearing you sing. And I don't understand how you wound up working the night shift in the hospital all these years later.
I never could get to sleep before sunrise.
Again, there's like so that. Many answers.
You got a real problem.
There's so many answers to why he couldn't get to sleep before sunrise.
I got a few. Yeah.
I'm thinking fear of vampires is not one of them.
Well, anyway, so if you want more of this, you can check out the show archives. We've been doing this for quite some time, and in people seem to really dig it. So you never know what Billy D is going to say when the amazing writers of Night Shift get a hold of his talents. So that's pretty much it for kind of housekeeping issues and incidentals. We've got some pretty big Indiana Jones news on the way. Quite a bit of indie news, and it's kind of spilled over into a couple of different sections, but I think we've tried to clean it up as best we can. Probably the biggest thing, well, let's not start with the biggest thing, but we'll start with Ain't It Cool News is reporting that the first trailer for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull will be screened before Beowulf in November. Who knows if that's going to be the case, but we had talked a few shows ago about Indie EU. You know, I was on one of my EU
kicks. Yes.
Kicks, yeah. And we were talking about Indie EU, and we weren't sure about the status of the books and if there were kind of vintage indie books and what was going on. We got a great listener voicemail from Ed, who was going to clear it up here a little bit about some of the old indie books.
Hi there, Jason, Pete, and crew, and everyone at the Forcecast. It's Ed Dollister here from Geelong in Australia. And firstly, I want to say I'm loving the show, and especially loving the Indiana Jones updates, which is great to see Harrison getting a bit more love from the Forcecast. I was just wanting to point out that you didn't think there were any Indiana Jones books. Well, there are actually 11 expanded universe, I suppose you'd call them, Indiana Jones books that were set in the 1920s. So Indy was a little bit younger than he was in the first Indiana Jones series, I guess. It came out in 1991 with Indiana Jones and the Peril of Delphi, and the series finished up 11 books later in 1999 with Indiana Jones and the Secret of the Sphinx. It was great because in the books they featured Sala, Marcus Brody, a lot of characters from the movies, and Indiana Jones got married to his childhood sweetheart, Deirdre Campbell, in one of them, but I won't give away what happens to him. Well, see, I've said it now, something happens to it. Well, you know. Anyway, so they're really good. In fact, actually, I reckon one of the books was called Indiana Jones and the Philosopher's Stone, which is proof that J.K. Rowling not only rips off Star Wars, but Indiana Jones as well. Thanks, guys, and keep up the awesome work. Cheers.
That's awesome. Thank you, Ed. Yeah. Ed's a great keeper of secrets. He's like, I'm not going to tell you about how she dies, but let me tell you.
Well, no, I've let it out. But that's a great update. And in all honesty, I had no idea that there were that many books out there. And it would be nice if this kind of led to a little bit of a renaissance of those books and a little more interest. I think there's interest out there.
I think it will. I mean, we had a story not long ago that there's plans for a movie adaptation and potentially some other filler stuff in comic form and in book form. So
the usuals.
Yeah, the usual suspects. So, I mean, I would imagine, I mean, you're kind of seeing a pattern with the new indie film of a lot of these licensees sort of lining up to follow the template that they've built around Star Wars, which to me, and for all the indie fans out there, that's great news.
Yeah. Well, and thank you very much to Ed for chiming in with that, because I don't know if we would have gotten the info elsewhere. And just to head back on your point of the trailer, don't hold your breath too much on anything awesome coming out of this trailer. And the only example that I use is Transformers, the teaser trailer for Transformers,
yeah, uh-huh,
which I was anxiously awaiting and saw and went, what was that?
It was just like a planet.
Yeah.
It was just like, Earth.
Yeah, let's just show Earth, and then we're going to show this Mars rover, and then it's over.
Right.
So,
But that's what a teaser trailer is supposed to be.
Again, it is a teaser, and some of them tease a little more than
right.
most. But
right.
With them being so early on in production and things like that, I would assume that it would probably be a rush job to get something ready to be available in November. So
that was what was so great about the first trailer for Phantom Menace, was it gave you dialogue and everything. It gave you a lot. And that was considered, the teaser. And then, of course, Attack of the Clones, it was that silent, montage of clips. I remember seeing Jango Fett, clips from the fight between Obi-Wan and Jango. And
the same thing with Sith.
I'm trying to remember the teaser.
That was the one that premiered. I watched. It was a show that I hated. The OC. I watched the entire thing so I could watch the trailer, which came on the last five minutes.
Wait a minute. Now, I have a memory of you and I leaving work, coming back to my place.
Yes.
And for the teaser trailer.
That's right. Teaser was that. Yeah.
That they put online. And,
right.
And something, my internet connection went down or something happened.
We kept trying to pull it up at work and we couldn't get it to work.
Right.
So we just decided to go home. And
it didn't work at home either.
It didn't work home there either.
No. Getting back to your point, I mean, there are some teaser trailers that are obviously more exciting than others. I remember being quite disappointed with the Transformers trailer, but
right. Well, and
that
and,
was
and
a
it
case
had a
where
very,
it came out very early.
Yeah, it had a very and it had a very aggressive production schedule. They hadn't done a lot of filming by the time that they decided they wanted
and all
to release
the effects
the trailer.
That needed to be done,
all the effects hadn't been done. So I think this will be kind of a similar thing again, a Spielberg film. So I think it'll be great. It'll be enough to just kind of get the juices flowing again. But
I disagree. I think that we're going to see quite a bit. Because with an indie film, it's not as reliant on special effects as, say, Transformers.
That's true. They're just I think they're just going to show like a whole bunch of scenes and then just Harrison Ford at the end and everybody's going to go,
Yeah, well, what I don't want is a montage of the films we've already seen.
Yeah.
And then, like, a second of him, at the end. You've seen him as,
with his shirt open.
Well, this isn't. Where are you going?
This isn't the 70s. We're not going to get bad voiceover guy going. And now, coming to a theater near you, like the old Star Wars trailers, which were just horrid.
Oh, yeah, the originals? They're terrible. They're good for a laugh, though. Anyway, all right. Well, so the trailer may or may not happen. I would imagine, I was expecting it to come out in November.
Yeah, I don't think that's
again,
that's
I think
a big
we're
surprise.
Following a similar template that we have with the Star Wars films. I would imagine we'll see that the teaser in November and then the full trailer probably in January.
Yeah, there's a film coming out in January that I think it might really do well to be attached to. I can't remember what it is, though.
Yeah, what is that?
January 18th, by the way.
It would be perfect. It would be perfect. If wiser heads prevail, you will see an indie trailer.
Yeah.
Before
Talk about
fan
a captive
boys.
Audience.
Yeah, of course. So. Of course. But it makes far too much sense.
That does. It
for the
ridiculous.
Knuckleheads in Hollywood. And we'll be talking more about the knuckleheads in Hollywood here in just a minute. But over at A Cool Toy Review, which is a great website, by the way, if you haven't had a chance to check it out at cooltoyreview.com. And it is indeed, as we say here, aptly named. It is cool and it has toy reviews. Our good friend Dan Curto and Dave Myatt have put this site together. And basically, it's kind of like what you expect from Rebel Scum, but for other toy lines.
Yeah.
And part of that is the Indiana Jones toy line. And there are photos now online of the packaging, the conceptual packaging for the Indy toy line. You've got the J cards for the figures. You've got the window box for like vehicles and role-playing toys and larger items. You got the hanging tag packaging design. You got the header card packaging design. So a number of different things. What strikes me is that this looks, the art that they have here of Indy, it looks very Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom to me.
Yeah, it's very...
It's not the way Harrison looks these days.
No, it's very retro-looking. But again, we're looking at these packaging, and I'm assuming these are probably actually the toys that are harkening back to those movies. The ones, not I'm thinking they're not the ones for Indy 4, but the movies that that Hasbro decided that they were covering that they announced at Toy Fair.
Yeah, well,
so I'm thinking that's what they're going back to, but they wanted to go with something general enough that it could cover any of the films.
Yeah, I can't remember what Dan said. I think we talked to him. I don't know that he knows for sure, but whether or not we're going to see kind of a pre-release of, you know, some of the toys inspired by the original three films, and then by the time May rolls around, we'll have maybe a new card design and something to kind of differentiate the line a little bit. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, otherwise, I mean, it's just exciting to see packaging for Indiana Jones toys again. It's very cool. Interesting on the blister, what I consider that, you know, the J card, the carded figure design. It's a little, it's got kind of a rounded bubble. It's different than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But it's not as streamlined as, say, like, you know, the 30th anniversary collection of Star Wars figures, which is real angular, and this is just a little more traditional. But nonetheless, worth checking out. It certainly wetted my whistle for these toys. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll have some more indie news in our regular headlines. There's some interesting quotes by George Lucas, and we'll have that coming your way in just a moment.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
You know, it just dawned on me. Where was the indie outro?
Oh.
I can hear the screams.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hands like feet.
I suppose you are not perfect. And
no.
I will forgive you that this one time.
Well, I'm looking at several screens here at one time. but anyway, getting back to our headlines, or getting to our headlines, the probably the biggest story of the week is certainly the confirmation that the Force Unleashed video game is indeed coming to the Wii, and not just coming to the Wii, but they're introducing an exclusive Wii, I don't know what you'd say it.
Dual mode.
Yeah, the exclusive Wii dual mode. This is what everybody's been waiting for, wielding the Wii remote as a lightsaber. So there you go.
And fight with your friends. Well, I think this is huge, and I'm actually very excited that they decided to go this route as opposed to what I was thinking when we started hearing rumors that there was going to be a lightsaber game for the Wii. I was thinking that we were actually going to, you know, eventually see just a game based on what's going on with, you know, just something else. You know, I don't know if it was going to be as bad as, you know, the Terra Kasai game that came out for PlayStation so long ago or whatever. That was just bad.
Yeah, but I still like battle mode. Yeah, man,
I was hoping it wasn't going to be like that. But to incorporate it and to bring the Force Unleashed to another console and incorporate that with, you know, being able to wield the Force powers and have that all in the Wii controller, I think is a great move by LucasArts. I don't know if this is actually the one that caused the delay of the release or if it's going to be something
else. It's interesting. But I think now that this is confirmed, I think we can kind of assume that this very well may have been the reason, because I think they certainly didn't want to limp this game out. I mean, they didn't want to release the game on the Sony platform and Xbox, and then, oh yeah, 6 months later, 4 or 5 months later, it's on the Wii as an afterthought. I think they really wanted to have a monster push and a monster launch with this game, and it stands to reason that would be
Right.
That would be why the delay.
Right. And there would have to be, you know, to get that dual mode incorporated into what's going on.
Well, and designed.
Yeah, and designed. That it was going to take a little bit of time. So I hope, you know, that... If so, that's a great move. I mean, again, for the people that only have the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox 360, they may not be quite so excited about it. But I think everybody in general should like the fact that they're really moving towards incorporating everything because, you know, the future of gaming, you know, we were talking about this the other day, or I was talking about it with a couple of people, is that, you know, they've pushed graphics kind of to the limit. And I'm not going to say they've pushed it to the limit where it's, like, completely realistic or anything like that, because they keep getting better and better with every new platform. But I think what has kind of been lost along the way in trying to push graphics to the very edge is that they, you know, there's something else that needs to be incorporated in any gaming situation, and that's, you know, the gameplay itself.
Fun.
Yeah, and fun. And
I think that's where a lot of these games have, in my own opinion, as someone who's not a big gamer, I think that's where a lot of these games have kind of derailed, is it's like, wow, look how cool this is, but it's not very fun. It's
right.
too hard, or it's not hard enough, and it's just kind of like one of those, you know, some of them end up like a choose-your-own-adventure novel,
yeah.
in a sense.
Yeah, and there's certainly definitely a place for some of that stuff. But, you know, again, here's the Wii that is more interactive and not quite as graphically focused.
Right. It's HD.
And it's doing extraordinarily well. And of the three platforms, is still the one that's the toughest to find.
Toughest to find. It's the best seller.
And it's the best seller because it has that interactive gameplay.
Right. It puts you in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you already have a mammoth, you know, a mammoth television, and to put something in your hand that allows you to feel like you're in the game. I mean, this is a home run. I mean, come on. I mean, this is what everybody's been. The minute they released, I remember the minute the Wii came out, everybody was screaming, well, when are we going to get a Star Wars game?
Right.
And for it to be the Force Unleashed is just.
Yeah, that's just the way to go. And the fact that they're conscious of that and that they're making sure that they're incorporating everything they can to make this one of the best releases ever for the Star Wars gaming universe. I have to give them a big kudos because it's definitely the way to go.
Well, we were told it'd be worth the wait, and I think this, you know, I'm excited because I have not plunked down the money for an Xbox 360 or the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
I really would even consider the PS3.
Right.
And then, of course, the, what do they call it? The three rings of death on the Xbox 360s that people are, you know, going up against. And that whole issue doesn't seem to have been resolved from what I hear.
Yeah.
At least not conclusively. It scares me. I haven't heard these kinds of things from the Wii. Plus, the wife loves Mario.
Yeah, as long as if you've got a Mario lover, the Wii is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, I can if I brought home an Xbox 360, she'd have my head. I bring home the Wii and I get her a Mario game. You know, I'm never going to hear anything about it.
Right. All of a sudden, you know? Okay.
Yeah, right. That's right.
So, kudos to the people at LucasArts for being on the cutting edge as usual.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, and what's interesting to point out here, I think, too, is that it's not, you know, you're not just going to be able to use the Wiimote in the dual mode. You're going to be able to use it throughout the game.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I mean, it's going to totally say, I mean, the way Star Wars fans are, I mean, we're insane. I mean, whether we have a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360, we go to Toys R Us and we start playing this thing.
Yep.
We're going to buy one.
Yep.
We're going to want one.
Well, and the only reason I bought my Xbox when I bought that so many years ago was to play Knights of the Old Republic. That was the only reason.
Yeah.
Now, I bought other games after that, but if they hadn't have had, if Knights of the Old Republic had been on the PlayStation, I'd have just kept my PlayStation. So,
well, look for that, of course, in the spring. We'll have more as we get closer to release date.
Yes.
Well, George Lucas had a recent interview with TV Guide, and this is one of those things where they release the first half of the interview, you know, online, and then you got to go buy the magazine. I have not bought a TV Guide in a long, well, since it switched over. I don't know why. I cannot. To me, it's not the TV Guide anymore.
No.
It's you know, if I want People Magazine, I'll buy People Magazine. I wanted the TV Guide. Liked it. It was small. It fit in this little drawer right by the couch, you know,
yes,
and,
exactly.
in this nightstand. I have not bought a new one or since it got the new look. But I may buy my first one this week because I was really interested in this interview with George. And right when they started getting to Star Wars, of course, they're like, oh, yeah. the rest of this will be in on newsstands this week.
Yes.
But he does talk about a documentary. It's going to be on the Starz channel. Premieres Monday, September 24th, about the history of the San Francisco-based filmmakers like himself, Francis Ford Coppola, and Clint Eastwood. And if you're interested in filmmaking, this is a great interview. He talks about what it was like, what separates kind of the San Francisco-based filmmakers from the Hollywood establishment. I found this one. They asked him about authority, and he's talking about the interviewer. TV Guide asks him something about is independent filmmaking about fighting authority? And he says it's not a matter of fighting authority. He says it's a matter of realizing that you don't have to go to Hollywood to make movies. A lot of independent filmmakers around this country make movies. I'm sorry. A lot of independent filmmakers around this country make movies in their hometowns. You know, there's like 1,000 independent films made every year. Not that many of them make it into the mainstream. And what this film is about is the ones that do. This is about how even the most mainstream of movies can be made outside the system. And for a lot of independent filmmakers who are working outside the system and working all around the country, I think the message of the documentary is just stay there. If you become successful, you make a movie that actually hits the mainstream, that becomes successful, don't move. Stay home. Work out of your own backyard. Work out of your own milieu. I cannot do George doing French, you know. work out of your own history, he says. And I think I thought that was very inspiring. You don't have to go even to San Francisco. You know, you don't have to go to Hollywood to chase your dreams. Do it from home. I mean, this day and age of technology and instant communication, I think affords people the ability to do that more than they've ever had the opportunity to do in the past.
I think that no matter where you go, you're going to have the tools that you need in order to do something successful. So if you've got the idea and you've got the chutzpah, as they used to say.
Yeah, and a little bit of luck doesn't hurt.
Yeah, luck doesn't hurt.
But they ask him about Indiana Jones. We probably should have covered this in our indie update. They ask, how is the filming going? He says, very well indeed. TV Guide asks, were you disappointed about Sean Connery not coming out of retirement to play Indy's father? This is, I thought, worth noting. He says, no, in the end, it turned out better. In the beginning, he was just in a little bit, and I think the strength of Sean Connery, people would have wanted him to stay all the way through the whole thing, and the story didn't work that way. And so I think there would have been some disappointment that his character dropped out partway through the movie. Gee, I wonder why he drops out.
Mm.
By having somebody else fill that role, you lose him without any regret, so to speak, even though we got a great actor to play the part, and I mean he's not his father, it's much easier. I think this is probably going to be the Elder Ravenwood character that John Hurt is rumored to be playing,
mm-hmm.
would be my hunch.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of wisdom to that, too. You know, it's certainly, if Sean Connery is playing the father and he drops out middle of the film, and even worse, instead of dropping out, just dies,
right.
All of a sudden, you know, it turns into, you know, a heartbreaker.
Right.
So, you know, not having to deal with that in the depth of the story will clear things up a little bit. So I think, you know, ultimately, as disappointed as I am, I think he's probably right.
I think he is. I remember watching Last Crusade for the first time, and when, you know, at the end, sorry about that. I hope this is not a spoiler for anyone. But when he gets shot at the end, I really did believe that could be it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it just, and I hate, you know, actually, when I think about it, I think about The Untouchables, too. His death scene in The Untouchables is just heart-wrenching.
Yeah, it's so heart-wrenching.
I don't want to see another Sean Connery death scene.
I can't handle it.
I can't. When the poor man goes for real, it's going to be just, it's going to be horrible. He's James Bond.
Yeah.
He doesn't die. So I think you're right. I think that George, had a good point there. I mean, there's a part of me that says, well, but, if it's a character we don't really care about, then where's the risk? I mean, part of, you know, loving characters and getting behind them in a film, in the course of a film, is, you know, some of it's the danger, you know, and that's part of the fun
or right.
excitement. That's the roller coaster ride. He's making lemonade out of lemons. Sean didn't do sure. the film, and he's like, well, you know what? It worked out better anyway.
Yeah.
They asked him about, is there been anything reported on the film, wrong internet buzz that you want to correct? He says, well, I really don't read the internet buzz. We know that's not true. Kevin Smith told us that.
Yes.
Pete, you saw Kevin Smith, right?
Yes.
And he mentioned that Tell this story for the folks that have missed it.
Oh, well, he was just telling a story about how at the time he was dating, I can't think of who he was dating, but anyway, somehow he ended up over at Spielberg's house for Thanksgiving. And after dinner, George shows up and the two of them spend 3 hours looking at each other's websites and commenting on them. And he said it was completely surreal, just kind of go in the other room, look and see them too, pointing at things and laughing. And
man.
What it's like to be a billionaire.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Well, anyway, it says that the new fall preview returning favorites issue of TV Guide features this exclusive interview with George, and he does go on to comment about the future of Star Wars and television. So... newsstands this week.
And in case you're trying to get maybe your wife or something to pick that up, you can say, hey, would you pick up this TV Guide issue? There's an exclusive interview with Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy, also known as McDreamy.
Right. That would work for my wife.
Yeah. Just go ahead and say, would you pick that up? Because I'd really like to, you know, to see that. They'd know what's going on once they picked it up, but it might be a trick worth using.
I tell you what, I think some of the writers from that show's working on that night shift with Billy Dee. That show's
sounds
crazy,
like crown,
man.
Needs a friend.
You got a real problem.
Well, George is going to be also hosting a anniversary screening of the 40th anniversary of the AFI. They'll be screening some 11 classic American films. One of them, of course, is Star Wars Episode IV: A New Hope, October 3rd at the ArcLight Theater in Hollywood. George Lucas will do the honors of introing the film.
It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. Hopefully. I don't think he'll say anything.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a Q&A afterwards or not.
Yeah, that's going to be all that profound. And you know, it's one of those things where he's going to go up there and he's going to want to talk about Star Wars: A New Hope. And everyone's going to be like, what's going on with the TV series?
Right. Well, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
And that's part of the problem with, you know.
And how many, I mean, you get to the point, I mean, it's been 30 years, I mean. How many times can the guy say, well, you know, none of the studios wanted it, and, you know, it was really hard to film, and then there was this big, you know, sandstorm, and, you know, I mean, we've heard it, you know.
Cats and dogs
we've kind of heard it.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, hearing it from him is always exciting.
Yes.
You know, so I certainly would go if I lived out there. There's people out in the West Coast. They get all the fun. They get all the good events. You know, we've been commenting lately about the... StarWars.com and what they do and what they don't do and that sort of thing. And I thought that this recent video clip that they put up of Troy Denning and Aaron Alston, authors of some of the Star Wars Legacy of the Force books, was one of those kind of things. It was just yes, this is the kind
of
stuff that you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a video interview and they don't really... I mean, they kind of set up the main plot points, you know, through the series. It's not really going to spoil anyone necessarily. I would have liked to seen them. I'd like to seen the video be a little bit longer and maybe them get into, you know, more in depth, because I think it's important that. I mean, for me, one of my hangups with the EU is that I already feel that it's so much of it has passed me by.
Mm-hmm.
That it's this train that's just gone, and you know, I'm like, you know, hey. Over here, help! You know, I mean, it's
yes,
it's passed me by, and so
you know what would help bring you up to speed on some of that stuff?
Jay Shepard's Intro to the EU,
yeah, that and a Star Wars Atlas.
Oh God, don't even get me started.
Zing
on the Atlas, but anyway, so I think these videos, you know, almost if they could do kind of like synopses,
mm-hmm,
in a sense. So you know what? They built the anticipation, so you know I'm going to get that next novel.
Right.
I don't need to worry about buying the other ones unless I want to go back, which you know chances are I will.
Sure.
But I need to get caught up. So I'm kind of a guy that I don't mind spoilers if they bring me up to speed. But anyway, here's a clip from the Legacy of the Force video that you can find on StarWars.com with Aaron Alston and Troy Denning.
The dark side is in all of us, and all they have to do is find a way to get in touch with it. They get in touch with Jason's dark side, convincing him that he needs to do terrible things to achieve good ends. So it leads to a terrible moral question, and that's what is the driving force behind the whole Legacy of the Force series.
The series, well, we haven't really worked out exactly how the series ends, but I'm looking for the happy ending, really.
aren't we all? But anyway, I think that this kind of content is so, you know, good on them. Let's see more of it.
Yeah,
let's see more of it. If they can just get, I'm really kind of annoyed in a way by the disjointedness of the, if that's a word, I don't know, but of the homepage and the back end pages. You know, it just, it's like you click on the video clip and then all of a sudden it's this completely other website.
Yeah.
And it's the Flash video, which I love Flash video because it's instantaneous. It's not the best quality. And of course, StarWars.com was all about QuickTime, you know, for the longest time. So you'd have to sit there and wait for the thing to load. Now you got like instant, you know, gratification with the Flash video, but they just haven't found a way to marry the two.
And it doesn't bother me that much.
No?
You know, I'm not quite so.
Am I being fussy? Am I being picky?
Well, probably, yeah, but, you know, not quite so much that, you know, I think it's just one of those things where, especially, you know, the overall feel of things, if that's what you're
used to. I just want to see
uniformity,
you know, from point A to point B.
And I'm kind
and
of disjointed,
so
and I'm kind of just kind of all over the map anyway, so that kind of stuff doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the kind of guy that can throw a stick in the middle of the floor and leave it there for 2 weeks, and it won't bother me not to pick it up. But I have a feeling that that might not work so well.
No, not in this house,
you.
My friend.
Yeah, exactly. And not in my house that I'm moving to, so I'm going to have to get used to that.
Get used to having a lady in the house.
Yes.
So anyway, check that out at StarWars.com, and I think it bodes well for the future of the site and them providing the kind of content that I think only they can provide. Well, you know, Pete and I were talking before the show started about wacky, wild Star Wars stories, and we don't always catch them, because sometimes they show up on TFN or RebelScum, and sometimes they don't. But, you know, we covered the Chewbacca, and if you remember the panhandler at the front of Grauman's Chinese Theater, or is it Man's now? I don't know.
I don't know what
which
it is.
One. You know, the famous theater.
Yes.
Out in Hollywood where all the panhandlers are. And Chewbacca got a little out of control and ended up in front of Judge Joe Brown.
And I felt bad because I didn't explain to any of our worldwide listeners what Judge Joe Brown is. But that is
He's a TV judge.
It's a TV judge. You know, it's the people's court. Hopefully you're all familiar with that kind of concept where, you know, it's on TV and there's one judge that sits there and stands in judgment of all. So, and it's all for spectacle. And I can't even believe anybody would do this, but it's all about 15 minutes of fame. So.
Right. And here's just a very quick clip. We had the whole thing on the last show, but it's just too good to pass up.
I didn't even get a chance to entertain. I don't even know if I made the sound.
That guy.
Oh, he's great. I want to get that guy
gold.
In a cantina.
Yeah.
I want to hear him. Because I bet he could just riff forever.
Oh, yeah. He could just
talk. He is so justified in what he did.
Right. Exactly.
But anyway, so we're kind of introducing a new segment on the Forcecast. It's the outrageous, unthinkable Star Wars story of the week.
It's unthinkable.
So we're asking you to send in what you think is the most outrageous or...
It's outrageous. It's unthinkable.
Unthinkable story of the week. And Pete, you found a beauty.
Oh, it's always pure gold. Whenever anything starts with blank Star Wars character arrested. And this, unfortunately, it just happened to be Darth Vader this week.
Oh.
And this happened in Wigan over in England. And
he's going to join Chewie in the jail cell.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even make the sound. I don't think you still have. But anyway, so this man, Andrew Mark Hayes, 33, of Park Crescent West, he was arrested and charged with common assault after a night of drinking led him to a neighbor's house where he returned to his flat or apartment and turned nasty, and he slapped the neighbor across the face in an unprovoked attack. The neighbor then fled the scene, fearing further attacks.
Well, of course.
And when police gained entrance, they found Andrew Marquez, the alleged assaulter.
I like that you're using alleged. That's very important. Well, yeah, that's very important, right. when you're yeah. A powerful, influential member of the Star Wars
right.
media.
We don't want to hang this guy just yet. They found this man flat on the sofa. It was then that he gave his identity as sci-fi's most notorious villain, Darth Vader. Now, again, it's not necessarily the fact that he just said, oh, I'm Darth Vader. It's kind of the context of the whole thing. Because as far as I know, Darth Vader is not a slapper.
All too easy.
Right.
Right.
I mean, he's got a lot of things at his disposal.
Right.
And an open hand slap to his neighbor. You know, and seriously, who goes into a neighbor's house? You know, I've been drinking. All of a sudden, you know, you get a little bit nasty. You smack the guy. He leaves. You just plop down on his couch. Like, well, I wanted to borrow some sugar. I don't know where it is. I'll sit here until he comes back. I mean, it's just, you know, then the police show up and it's like.
He doesn't have anything better to say than that.
Darth Vader.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, like they go, I think you're being honest with us. Because it's not like they don't know who Darth Vader is.
Right, right.
And if you're going to do that, again, you know, tips to criminals out there. If you're going to claim to be Darth Vader, at least have the helmet.
Right.
You know, just have it sitting there. You don't have to be wearing it, but at least have the helmet so you can at least try and prove your identity. So,
well, and again, I mean, this goes back to the, it's like, I love the headline. I mean, it's not like man claiming to be Darth Vader right. or, you know, man slaps, you know, whatever, and, you know, sits on couch. I mean, that's really the story. But according to the media,
yes,
Darth Vader arrested. Well, I mean, that's, of course, a much sexier headline.
Well, of course. And it's, you know, it shows up on TheForce.net and RebelsGum.com and, of course, the Forcecast. If it's man slaps neighbor and then sleeps on his couch. That headline never shows up on any of those websites, I'm telling you right now. But Darth Vader doing that, you're darn right it does.
It's unthinkable.
Well, that is your outrageous, unthinkable Star Wars story of the week. So if you've got them, send them to us at podcast@theforce.net. So hopefully we'll get some more.
Yeah, and if you send it to us and we use it on the air, we may just say your name. That's your prize.
Well, if you're like me and you just can't really justify the expense of a new electronic, you know, like the Wii or the, you know, the Wii in anticipation of the game, but you still would like to be able to kind of carry your lightsaber around with you wherever you go, if you're an iPhone owner, you're in luck. The Mac Saber is now available for the iPhone. I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with this. The Mac Saber is just a little application that you run on your Mac, and I bet Jay Shepard has it. I'll bet the professor has it. I just thought of that. So anyway, if you have this installed and you kind of, you know, wave your your Mac around, it'll make the noises. It'll make the sounds. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Now this is available for the iPhone. Of course, you run the risk of totally bricking out your iPhone to install these kind of third-party apps on it. But still, if you absolutely must have the iSaber, you can do so. And I think we'll have a link on our show notes of where you can get it.
I don't think there's any scenario that I can think of where I would want to wag my Mac or my iPhone around.
Yeah, you're talking about two very expensive pieces of equipment.
I would rather just buy a lightsaber and do that because it's a lot cheaper.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know,
But like I said,
there's something for everybody out there, you know?
Yeah. I guess. But I'm an iPhone owner, but there's no way. I mean, I way overpaid for this thing. And I just can't risk hacking it to get something that I can get from a, you know, $12 Hasbro toy. Or my fantastic Darth Vader, you know, master replica lightsaber that you got me for Christmas.
Comtech chip.
Right. You would say that.
I thought you had them queued up.
Oh, no.
You know, I've been trying all night to give you a lead in to the Comcheck, Jim.
Well, how about a lead in to collecting?
The
fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
I want to also remind the folks that are on Talk Show right now that if you want to call us up and comment on any of the stories that we've talked about so far, you can do so. The number to call, well, you know what? I just lost it. What is the number to call? Pete, Sam.
7211-9er. That's only if you're calling from a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, you know what? I just lost it. Uh-oh. I just lost it. Oh. There was the phone number, and now it's... Oh, I got it. Here it is. 724-444. 7444.
I knew it had a 7.
Yeah, how in the world can I forget that number? 724-444-7444. And Talkcast ID is 46670. So give us a call on just about, you know, anything.
Anything.
Can, some string, tin can string. We do have a little bit of collecting news for you. The some Target exclusives, some photos have shown up of these Target exclusives that will be hitting this fall. And we've seen these things on display at some of the summer conventions, but it's always good to have them confirmed. And this one, I mean, and a lot of this news just, it goes by so quickly.
Yeah.
And there's so much to the stories and so many different products being talked about that a lot of it I don't catch. And one of them was... that the Force Unleashed, of all the tie-ins, you know, scheduled for the Force Unleashed game, the only thing that is going to follow the original release date, as far as the merchandise goes, is the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Hasbro lightsaber, and it features a color change blade and a protective guard to protect the blade from Cortosis weapons.
Ah.
So that'll be a Target exclusive. Also... How can you not love the Galactic Heroes Jabba's Palace set? Pete, if this doesn't melt your heart...
It does not. They still look ridiculous.
Made of stone, you are.
I am.
Made of stone.
It's quite possible.
The Assault Squad Battle Pack looks great with the two AT-RTs and three clone troopers based on the Battle of Kashyyyk. Also, this the ARC-170 Elite Squad with the blue astromech droid looks super, super cool. So,
which I have to say, for you to say that a battle pack of troopers looks really cool, that means a lot. It's got to look really cool because I know that you get tired of all the troopers.
I do get tired of them. I don't mind them invading the battle packs because I can justify not buying battle packs.
Gotcha.
It's when, you know, all of the the saga legends and things like that end up being, you know, all the single carded stuff, which is what I collect.
Figures, yes.
Yeah. But I don't know. These look pretty neat. I might. It's the way they have them displayed. It's the
they do
diorama,
look very cool.
The whole diorama.
And they've gotten really creative and really good at displaying those in ways that make them look really great in the pack, so that it's a great display piece, or it's great to have them out of the pack too. So look for those battle packs because I think they're doing a pretty good job of cranking those out and making them really worthwhile to pick up.
Yeah, and in some cases they're actually a pretty good value.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the way it breaks down figure by figure. If you've been following the Hasbro Q&A, we haven't talked about it in several weeks, but I asked our good buddy Dan Curto to kind of break it down for us, break down the roundup with what are some of the big news things that or the news stories that broke out of the Q&A. There's always a little, you know, a few nuggets
little tidbits,
here and there.
Yeah.
And some things, if you go over to rebelscum.com, you can see the whole roundup and there's some fairly interesting answers about distribution plans for the remaining of the year. The fact that the popularity of the 30th anniversary collection card backs and what happens to excess stock and stuff like that. Some kind of insider info. But very interesting this week is that there is talk, confirmation of talk between Hasbro and Sideshow about producing play sets and environments for the 3¾ line. So
talk is good.
I believe that
I'll take any
we have made
we
this.
Can get.
We have made this request and this suggestion on the Forcecast in shows past. So maybe we can pull. Maybe Jimmy will pull up some of those clips because, of course, I would love the Forcecast to take credit for this. But no, this is very, very cool. I mean, if anybody can do it, why not?
Yeah,
I know the concern for Hasbro is that play sets and dioramas and that sort of thing, environments, they just don't sell like they used to. at the volume that they need to justify manufacturing themselves. But certainly, Sideshow has proven that they can take something that Hasbro looks as kind of a loser line or loser product, like with the 12-inch, and breathe new life into it like nobody's business.
Yeah.
So that's very, very cool. Some more news here. No VOTC wave next year. I mean, this is something that...
Yeah, we knew that.
You know, we kind of assumed, but it's official. I don't know what the future of that line is, or if there, you know, is a future. I feel that there are still more figures that could be done. I think Hasbro has some reservations about it. They feel that, you know, a lot of this ground has already been covered.
Yeah.
And with the Clone Wars cartoon series coming out next year, there's going to be a lot of product that doesn't necessarily lend itself to this.
Yeah.
So, also following up on the Legacy Comic Pack, Ganner Krieg and Antares Draco is now officially confirmed.
Yes, and I have to give a public apology. I've been remiss to do it in the past couple of weeks. I said at one point that we had scooped Dan Curto on that, and we, in fact, did not. Dan had gotten all that information, and he had actually, was waiting for the okay announce that, and Doug Wangler was not supposed to have admitted that was going to be out there. So, I was bragging on the fact that, we finally got Dan, and he was quick to point out.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. it's hard to go to the Oracle and try and pretend like you know more than he does. But we always appreciate any time that he shares any of his info with us, because usually it's right on the money.
Oh, yeah. You can take it to the bank when Dan says it. Let's see what else. Some confirmation that the Clone Wars line next year will be separate from the standard line. And we were talking about that earlier, about maybe they'll do something similar to the Indiana Jones line, where you have kind of like a classic Indiana Jones figures, and then you'll have kind of a different look for Indy 4 merchandise. And Luke, this is interesting too. Lucasfilm and Hasbro, they've agreed to not make any of the Usei bootlegs into official figures. And so I wasn't really holding out hope that they would.
No, what makes them great and what makes that unique and cool is the fact that that's the only thing out there. And so you kind of have to preserve some of that in some of those realms. As much as we would all love to own a Headman, you know, the part of what makes that fun and unique is the fact that it's not available.
Right, right.
You know, so there's some ground that just has to remain sacred over the years. So
that's right. Well, and to kind of make up for the last few weeks, we've been getting acclimated to the new format with TalkShoe and being able to take live callers. And I want to also just say thank you to Kyle Newman, who was our special guest co-host last week. He did a phenomenal job. He's welcome back here anytime. Very gracious and generous with his time. So thank you to Kyle. And but now we'll try to get back to some of our roots with some listener mail and feedback.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we've been sitting on this one for quite some time. We've got a great voicemail here. Will from New Jersey, who's always keeping us up to date on the things going on, and he wanted to let us know a little bit about the Star Tours and the whole Disney thing and the Lucasfilm relationship. This is his take on it. Here's Will from New Jersey.
Hello, Jason and Pete. This is Will from New Jersey, Mags11 on the forums. The last few podcasts that contain information regarding the Disneyfication of Star Wars struck a chord with me. Being both a Star Wars and Disney fan, you can imagine my delight way back in 1987 when I found out that Disneyland was going to have a Star Wars ride. And later on, that ride would arrive at Disney MGM Studios, which is closer to my side of the country. I did manage to get to Disneyland around 1990, and the first thing my older brother and I did was ride Star Tours. Now, keep in mind that 1990 was about the furthest point away from any Star Wars activity, and only a year before the revival with Timothy Zahn's Heir to the Empire. So to us Star Wars fans, we were just desperate for anything. But this ride was just an overwhelmingly success to us. I'm not even talking about the flight simulator technologies, which, you know, while they're dated now, they were state-of-the-art at the time. I'm talking about being able to walk into the world of Star Wars with C-3PO and R2-D2, a few more familiar-looking droids, and some calamari officers going along for the ride. Then to be able to recreate that famous trench scene from A New Hope. That was truly a dream come true. These days, my family and I travel to Disney World in Florida once a year, and I never miss a chance to ride this tribute to Star Wars, as I call it. The Florida park has even improved the experience over Disneyland with a walk-through Ewok Village and a nearly life-size AT-AT that fires water shots at spectators. I once watched an interview with George Lucas back near the time the Star Tours opened, and they asked him why the sudden interest in working with Disney. And to seriously paraphrase the maker, he said something along the lines of this. He said that Disney has been at the forefront of family entertainment for over 50 years. And when I decided to have an attraction developed for both the Star Wars and Indiana Jones franchises, I felt that if I can't put together this whole enterprise on my own, then I will only trust the Disney Corporation to make it work. Personally, I think George Lucas made a wise decision. I believe Star Tours had a hand in keeping the Star Wars franchise alive during those dark years in the late 80s. I think it's a very wise move to keep the Star Wars franchise in Disney. You know that George and his team are going to create what they want, and I doubt Disney's ever going to have much of a say, and they're probably okay with that because they know that what George Lucas has done with Star Wars and Indiana Jones is remarkable, and any presence of those franchises will only keep the people coming into the theme parks. That's it. Thanks for letting me speak my piece, and keep up with the awesome podcast.
No arguments there.
No. And thank you to Will, and thank you to his lovely daughter, Karina, who supplied us with a great drawing of us, you and I, getting ready to do an interview, which was great.
I loved it. You know, it was funny. I maybe we can post it in the forums, but it had like that little kid style, but yet there was like this interesting maturity It was really great. She's very talented, so keep it up, Karina. We'd like to see more of that coming away. George, or rather, Mark Hamill, you know, again, he's been kind of the subject of a lot of talk on the Forcecast. So our listener, Niall, I think, is that Niall?
Mm-hmm.
Niall Ballmer, big bad Daddy Vader. Not to be confused with the Vader that punched out the guy and slept on the couch.
Slapping people.
Right. But he wanted to write in and let us know about his experience of meeting Mark Hamill at Celebration Europe. He says, "Hey there, I just want to share my experience of meeting Mark Hamill at Celebration Europe in London in July. It is often said that you should never meet your heroes as you are doomed to disappointment and disillusion. I am here to say that this was very much not the case with Mark. Luke Skywalker was and remains one of my role models in my life and something I have always aspired to and looked up to. I have always wanted to be more like my hero. When it was announced that Mark would be at Celebration Europe, I was thrilled beyond measure. I simply could not believe I would have the opportunity to meet the man who brought my hero to life with such wonderful performances. First thing I did on Friday when I got there was get a ticket for Mark. The queues were extraordinary, as you can imagine. I was... we just had a friend here on Skype pop up here. As I approached the front and got nearer to Mark, I was racked with nerves, biting my fingernails and everything. Mark had been signing for around 5 or 6 hours by this stage, but was still posing with FX sabers for people, lifting people's children in his arms for photos, and never once stopped smiling. He seemed genuinely blown away by the reaction of his fans. When it was finally my chance, he signed my Luke Return of the Jedi saber replica that I brought. This replica was made by Norman Harrison, who made the original sabers. And he commented that he had not been asked to sign anything like this. He shook my hand, and all the things I had rehearsed in my head that I'd wanted to say to him vanished. I just said it was an honor to meet him, and he was one of my heroes. He thanked me very sincerely and said what an honor it was to be held in that view. He put his arm around me, and I have a photo of myself with Mark that I will forever treasure. I'm delighted to say that Mark Hamill is now more my hero than ever, as he was just a wonderful, down-to-earth guy. Anyway, that is my personal experience with meeting Luke Skywalker. If you would like to see the picture of myself with Mark, feel free to go. And he gave us the link, and I did check it out. And, you know, that's great. That's exactly what I would hope.
Yeah.
And we've seen Mark
been
a lot of
so
crap.
Mean to Mark. I say that like I haven't been, so no. But
we do just kidding around. And,
yeah.
You know, I did take... If he was indeed in town for C4 and didn't show up, I did resent that a little bit. I think that's a gesture that he kind of owed to the fans. But he did show up at Celebration Europe, signed for hours and hours and hours.
And that's something I have to say that doing that is going above and beyond what my expectations are. At this point, for the major actors, even including Carrie Fisher, they don't have to sign for us. I don't think they really owe us that. I mean, obviously, that's how they make money if they're going to go to these conventions. But all I'd like to see is just an hour of them on stage talking about how they did it. And,
right.
And just appearing and saying thank you and allowing us to show this type of adoration to them. So the fact that he did do the signing goes above and beyond my expectations. And doing the signing and being gracious and really enjoying what's going on, that's just amazing. I'm really excited about that, and I hope that just encourages him to see that things
what
have
I'm
changed,
hoping.
That the Star Wars fandom is a little bit different, and you know there's a lot of joy to be had in that. So
that's right.
I hope that's the way it goes.
That's right. Oh, and we got a little bit of feedback here from Chelsea in Bristol, Virginia. She says, "Hey guys, I just listened to Friday's podcast, and this is." A couple weeks back, I believe, when we were in Chicago.
Yes.
She says, "So I'm laughing along with you and agreeing with all you said about Ewan. He really has made some what was he thinking type movies. But he said before that he only makes movies that appeal to him, so there must have been something in those scripts he liked. Then you mentioned some crazed Ewan fan who emails y'all when you say something about him incorrectly, and I can't help but wonder if you meant me. Come on, I emailed you. I emailed once to let you know his correct age after his birthday. Now I'm labeled as crazy. I'm never listening to your podcast again. Just kidding. I couldn't resist. So if it was indeed me that you were referring to, you got your wish." I replied, "I was trying to figure out what Ewan movie Pete was talking about that he watched on HBO last year. The only Ewan film I can think of where he sleeps around with a bunch of women is Down with Love. It's set in the 60s and Renee Zellweger is in it. What was he thinking of? Congrats on making it on the first anniversary in Forcecast. Woohoo, Chelsea in Bristol, Virginia. P.S. Thanks so much for pronouncing my name correctly when you read my emails back on the air in April. I really appreciated it. After I got over the shock of hearing it during the middle of the episode, you have no idea how many people assume my name is Chelsea. Have a great week, and thanks again."
Well, I have to say, yes, it was Chelsea that we were referring to, I believe. And the film that I was talking about was Young Adam.
Oh.
Again, a horrible film. And not a horrible performance by Ewan McGregor. In fact, he's quite convincing as a vagrant who goes around sleeping with women. But a horrible film in subject alone. And again, not one that he's going to be talking to the kids at the at the hospital ward about. So,
well, see, I love Down with Love. I loved it. Did you see that?
I don't think I ever saw it.
It's kind of a take on the old like 60s Rock Hudson Doris Day movies.
That's your thing.
Yeah.
That's your bag.
But as far, while we're talking about the Ewan story, Jimmy Mac would like to apologize to Ewan if he's listening, or if maybe even to Chelsea, who seems to be like the, Ewan's like force cast bodyguard here. apologize.
We've totally labeled her for everything.
We have. Based on absolutely nothing. But he wants to apologize to Ewan and the entire McGregor family for referring to him as British when he is indeed Scottish. So here's a little Forcecast rewind when Jimmy mislabeled Ewan.
I mean, granted, Ewan is British.
You know, if only he did that for all of our flubs.
Oh.
Can you, the whole show would be...
Yeah, that is going to be the next 4-hour macro cast is our flubs of the past probably 3 right. weeks if we want to just keep it to 4 hours.
Well, and last mail here, let's see, bum. We don't have the name. We don't have the name of this person. Oh well, to whoever you are, they wanted to bring to our attention something that they saw in Star Wars Insider. He says, "Tell me what you guys think. Star Wars Insider, page 33, fact 98. Although Chewbacca is snubbed during the awards ceremony, he received a medal in various spinoff sources. The novelization honors him during the ceremony itself, while the Marvel UK comics give him his decoration later that night. Princess Leia stands on a table to reach his neck. In the Revenge of Tag and Bink, the two protagonists find Chewie's medal on the floor of the abandoned base, apparently forgotten. And during the 1997 MTV Movie Awards, Carrie Fisher gave Chewie, Peter Mayhew, a real-world medal. But could all of this be off base? According to interviews shortly after A New Hope, George Lucas maintained that the rebels had participated in a celebration on Chewie's homeworld in lieu of an actual medal. I think we saw that in the holiday special.
Someday.
But if you missed the MTV Awards back in 97, here's a clip of Carrie Fisher giving out the Lifetime Achievement Medal, finally, to Chewbacca.
I'm so grateful to have worked with Chewbacca, not just because we both had hair issues, he had too much and I had two buns, but because he's one of the kindest, gentlest creatures I've ever worked with. I only wish we had love scenes. So it is my great pleasure and privilege to present this Lifetime Achievement Award to my friend, co-star, and giant in this industry, Chewbacca.
I didn't see that. I'd kind of like to hear the speech. I think it probably sounded like something like this.
I didn't even get a chance to entertain. I don't even know if I made the sound.
This could have been, been like Chewie's comments,
yes,
like after the award ceremony on Yavin.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
I got totally left out. I didn't even get to make the sound. But then he did make the sound. That's the only thing say.
He did make the sound.
Well, so it's always interesting to go back and look at some of these things and, you know, just see how they retroactively, again, retconned the whole situation. You know, hey, they only had two. They're the rebellion. They didn't have that big a budget.
Medals are expensive.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you're lucky if you get one of those little plaques at work.
That's right. They had cake for him. That was all that he was going to get.
There you have it. Your Star Wars news for the week. I think some pretty neat things we learned about the indie movie. And, of course, the big announcement, The Force Unleashed, being released on the Wii. So not a bad week's of
Well,
work.
Considering what we've actually had over the past few weeks, there was a lot of meat to today's show.
That's true. Well, we want to thank everyone who joined us on TalkShoe. Nobody apparently wanted to talk to us, but we had plenty of folks chatting up a storm. I believe even fan club president Dustin Roberts joined him in the chat. Jason, read this. Hello. Okay, there you have it. Need you say more? Dustin That's right. Roberts says, hello. You guys are really missing out. If you haven't had a chance to join us live on TalkShoe, they're having a ball in the chat. I want to thank Mixy, Master Zarg, Mario B, Execute Order 66, of course, Dustin Roberts, Tallest Jawa, Kramer, and it just keeps going on and on. I can't mention everybody. We'll mention the ones that are still on because they're the only ones listening. C-Prave, I guess, or C-Prav. Whatever. Anyway, thank you guys, and thanks to all of you who download and listen to the show every week. We wouldn't do it without you. We couldn't do it without you. I want to also thank Jimmy Mack, Jay Shepard, Dan Curto, Dustin Roberts, and everyone at TheForce.net, Rebelscum.com. If you want to be part of the action, again, it's Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time at TalkShoe.com, and we're, of course, the official podcast of TheForce.net and Rebelscum, available on iTunes. Write us a review. Email us at podcast@theforce.net. Leave us a voicemail at 330-871-4TFN. Anything you'd like to say, Pete?
I think you pretty much covered it. podcast@theforce.net if you want to send us an email.
I'm sorry. I was.
We read them all, I guess.
Oh, the forums.
Oh, yeah, the forums. No. Thanks to everybody. We really do appreciate all the feedback and just the fact that you tune in and listen every week. It's great for us.
For the Forcecast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
The Force will be with you, always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.